Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So in today's gospel, a lawyer comes to Jesus and he asks a very significant question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And to give you just a little background, this is a spiritual lawyer. He's an expert in religious law and therefore a highly moral man. And he is very skeptical of Jesus because of the company that Jesus keeps. Prostitutes, tax collectors, uneducated fishermen. In other words, to this lawyer, Jesus' standards seem a little bit too low. And because this lawyer assumes that God's standards are very high, he tests Jesus by asking him a question. And that question is, what must I do? What must I do to be justified in God's eyes? A question, Luke tells us, that the lawyer asks because what he really wants to do, and I quote, is justify himself. And so the scene is very ironic. You have a lawyer who stands before the judge of the world and tries to plead his own case. It's funny. It's kind of cute. And of course, the reason Luke sets it up this way is because we all, in our own way, have a tendency to want to do the exact same thing as this lawyer, to try and justify ourselves in the eyes of God. To do something to earn eternal life or to feel like we deserve all the good things that we have. I mean, the idea that all of this is just a free gift of God's grace that we get to receive and be grateful for, we're not so sure about that. We'd feel a little bit better if we could earn it or maybe feel like we deserve some of it. And so rather than just giving God our heart and saying, thank you for all of this. Thank you for this life. Thank you for this beauty. Thank you for this salvation. We tend to do what lawyers do. And by the way, everyone in my family is an attorney, and so please take no offense. But we do what lawyers do, and we hand God a contract. Right? We want to know what God expects from us and what we can reasonably expect from God in return if we fulfill our end of the bargain. That's what a contract is. And this we all do because we have been formed in what I like to call a will accept if world. Right? As a child, we learned that we would be more accepted if we made an A rather than a D. More accepted if we shared our toys rather than hoarded them. More accepted if we learned to act in ways that made us popular. And so what did we do? Well, we brought our silly will accept if way of thinking into our relationship with God. And we believed things like, God will accept me if I'm virtuous. God will accept me if I'm a good person. God will accept me if I go to church. God will accept me if I'm more like the Samaritan in today's gospel and lend a helping hand. And you know what the ultimate will accept if question is? It's the question the lawyer asked. What must I do? What must I do for people to accept me? What must I do for God to accept me? What must I do to inherit eternal life? That's the question our inner spiritual lawyer just loves to bring to Jesus. Jesus, what must I do for God to accept me? Now, all that said, I do not read today's gospel as a moral lesson meant to answer that question. The point is not that you and I will be more accepted by God if we're like the Samaritan. Because today's gospel actually is not a moral lesson primarily. If Jesus were trying to teach a moral lesson primarily, I think he would have told a different story. Maybe a story about a Jewish law expert who found a dying Samaritan by the side of the road and decided to help. But that's actually not the story that Jesus tells. No, the story Jesus tells, right outside of Jericho, might I add, which is Jesus' last stop before he enters Jerusalem on an animal, on the exact same road as the Samaritan in the parable, the story Jesus decides to tell is about a Jewish man who is half dead and in desperate need of being rescued. In other words, what Jesus does here is absolutely brilliant. He tells a story that puts this lawyer, and therefore us as well, half dead and on the side of the road and in need of radical grace. But not just radical grace from the one whom we have made our enemy. All this reminds me of what Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, where he says, "While we were enemies, God reconciled us to himself." Or consider what Paul says in today's reading from Colossians. "God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins." That is the good news we hear today, that we are the ones who have been rescued. Not primarily the rescue team, but people whom God has rescued. And at the end of the day, I really believe that is what this parable is about. It's about a God who loves and rescues God's people. It's about the mercy and compassion of Jesus, the undeserved, unmerited, radical grace of a God who fell into the hands of robbers, who was stripped naked, beaten, and left for dead on a cross as an act of sheer love to rescue us from the power of sin and death. Put differently, I don't think today's gospel's message is a strategy on how we find God, but rather a proclamation that God has found us, half dead on the side of the road, but he picked us up and he's healed our wounds. And isn't that the message that our inner spiritual lawyer, always wanting to justify ourselves, needs to hear? That part of us that's always busy trying to please and perform and perfect, all in an effort to convince ourselves and God and everyone else that we are acceptable. Because as we come to understand the grace of God in truth, as Paul puts it today in Colossians, all that God does is take our contract, look at it, tear it up, and remind us that he loves us, and that he came to pick us up and to bind our wounds, and that with him there is never a will accept if, just a divine will to accept. And this unconditional grace of God, it's the oil and the wine that God dumps on our wounds, healing us and setting us free to do the same for the other people in our life. And so let's go back to that lawyer's question. What must I do? What must you do to inherit eternal life? There is nothing we can or must do to inherit eternal life, for eternal life has been given to each one of us as a gift of divine grace. And what does Jesus say to people like us who have received this gift? He says, "Go and do likewise." Amen.